This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Young and Sober. You know who we are. I am Joey. I'm here with Charlie. Say hello, Charlie.
Hey.
Fantastic. Lovely hello. What are we talking about today, Charlie? Introduce the topic.
We're going to be talking about dating and sex and relationships and, yeah, sexy time.
It's going to be a good one. It should be funny. There'll be a lot of laughs with this one, I'm betting already. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm 26 years old. I'm 3 years sober now. I hit the 3 year mark a couple weeks ago.
Woo!
They got me. And yeah, I'm single. Charlie, what about you?
He's single, ladies.
So I knew you were going to make a joke.
Anyone wants to slide into his DM?
I knew you were going to say
something. I'm Charlie. I'm 24. I am just over a year and a half sober. And I'm in a relationship with a lovely boy man.
A boy man?
Person.
A boy man person. All three in one. Sounds like quite a guy.
So we're sort of going to come at it from both sides. Talk about dating and sex and relationships when drinking and when sober, and kind of give the different sort of points of view from myself and Joey. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. I'm gonna have to stop myself from giggling.
It's fine. You're so immature, Charlie. Oh my god.
I know. I feel like I'm so like awkward and British and repressed, but I'm actually not at all. Like if you'd known me in my drinking days, I was quite the opposite of that.
You still are, Charlie. I don't know what you're on about me.
No, I am. I still am. Yeah, I don't know why I'm lying and pretending that I'm actually like all sweet and innocent, because it's really not true. But I just feel like, I don't know. If you're listening, hi, Mum.
Mum, Dad. Yeah, don't listen to this one. Well, actually, I don't know, listen if you want. Who gives a shit?
Nah, do it. It's fine. Yeah. It's funny.
Let's dive in. So dating, yeah, so it'll be good because I come from the single perspective. You're looking at this from the in a relationship perspective. And dating nowadays, especially when you're sober, if you don't drink, yeah, I bet that can cause some challenges for people, especially seeing as a lot of people meet in bars, they meet in clubs and whatnot. And obviously, if you're sober, you don't drink, you're less likely to be in those places. And if you are, you're less likely to want to talk to someone who's drunk. So how do we go about it? I mean, There are loads of ways you can go about it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I definitely feel comfortable going out on nights out, going to bars, going to clubs and whatnot. I still like it. You know what I mean? When I was first sober, it was definitely more difficult than now. I'm, like I said, 3 years sober. I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when they meet someone in a bar, one of the biggest questions they have is, what do I say? Like, what do I say if I go up to someone that I like and I want to talk to them? What do I say? Well, being sober is always a good talking point. You can always talk about that. Like, just spark up a conversation, say, what are you drinking? Saying, like, if you want to get a drink at any point, just say, like, oh, actually, I don't drink. And that right there, that is a huge conversation starter. And as long as you've spoken in the past, in past episodes as well, when you explain your reasons for being sober, because that's the first question they're going to ask, isn't it? Oh, why don't you drink? When you have an answer prepared for that, like, for example, for me, it's I just want to be the best version of myself. You know, I want to put my best foot forward.
Joey just can't help get his little catch line in there, can he? Yeah, I just want to be the best version of myself. Just want to be the best version of myself. Okay, Joey,
we
get it.
Written on my whiteboard 6 feet away from me. I read it every day. Got to put my best foot forward.
That is cute. That is really wholesome.
I'm being so helpful to that. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people, they might get a bit nervous. Like, oh, what are this person's, like, when I tell them I don't drink, they look at me like, oh, that's weird, or what have you. Or they react badly to it. A lot of people worry about that. But a lot of the time, like we said in the past, it's a really good talking point, especially when you have your reason prepared. And a lot of people are impressed, or at the very least, they respect it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think just dating in general is awkward. Like, I think, you know, about being a teenager and growing up and learning about dating and sex and relationships and all these feelings that you didn't know, you know, you don't know what to do with, kind of thing. I think when you get sober, you kind of like rediscover like those kinds of feelings, and there's a bit of like weirdness or awkwardness or confusion. And I can, you know, really imagine being like, well, how am I supposed to talk to people when I'm sober? Because when I was drinking, I exclusively met people, kissed them, slept with them, whatever, first when I was drinking. Obviously, like, then afterwards, maybe after a while, maybe it was sober, but it was always when I was drinking. So I think it's really good to know that, like, there are ways that you can build up your confidence and still approach people that, you know, you like, and not in a creepy way, just in a nice, sincere
way. Why did you have to say that? Obviously,
I don't know,
in a creepy way.
I made it weird, didn't I?
But no, yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And it's important to remember as well, if anyone at any point doesn't give you a good response to when you tell them you don't drink, well, then you know there and then that this ain't the person for you. You know what I mean? Like, you, of course, yeah, you can still be friends with them if you know them and you want to hang out with them. But obviously, if someone reacts funny to the fact that you don't drink, well, you're clearly not going to want to be in a relationship with that person. Like, that's probably not going to go very well.
I think that's really true. And I think it's hard because, like, well, it's hard for loads of reasons. Like, if you're approaching someone in, like, a bar or a coffee shop, for example, it's like, yeah, being sober is a good talking point, but, like, it's a bit awkward as well. And, like, if they react badly to it, it's like, oh, well, this is awkward. Don't really know what to do now. And I think a lot of people kind of have that fear. So, like, for example, a lot of people use dating apps now.
Mm.
You know, it could be something that you put on your profile to kind of, or say quite early in the conversation to kind of eliminate that awkwardness, or just put it out there straight away. And you don't have to explain yourself. Like, you don't have to give all your reasons. Like, they're a good conversation starter. Like, I like giving my reasons and stuff, but if you don't want to, that's, you know, totally your choice. And I think dating apps can be, actually, even though, you know, a lot of people don't like them, I think they can be a good way to meet people and a good way to establish, yeah, I don't drink, before you've met them, so they can kind of like adjust to that expectation kind of in advance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I'm not the biggest fan of dating apps, but whenever I have used them, I've put on there that I'm sober. Either, you don't have to put it in your description, a lot of dating apps will like say somewhere in them, do you drink, do you smoke, that sort of thing, and you can answer those questions, and then you can show that on your profile and people can see it without you needing to write a big paragraph like, oh, I'm sober, I don't drink, and all of this sort of stuff. But it's still like going out, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. You can just put on your profile, yeah, I don't drink. And I've whenever I've matched with people in the past and they've asked me a question like, you know, what was it that made you swipe right on me? What was it that made you want to match with me? And then I asked the same question to them. They said to me, it was because you didn't drink. You said on your profile that you didn't drink, you're sober. And I really like that because I don't drink that much as well. And I'm not really big on going on nights out and whatnot. And honestly, the smile on my face when I had that response, I was like pleasantly surprised. It was so lovely to hear that there are lots and lots of people out there who feel the same way as me, who feel the same way as us.
Lots and lots, really, Jerry. Lots and lots of girls.
Okay, I set myself up for that one. All right. I'm just going to move past what you just said right
sorry,
there.
Sorry, I'm such a dick. I'm so sorry.
It was funny. But we read on an article that Background Ben, of all people, sent to us earlier, 62% of people believe they're more likely to form deeper and more genuine connections if they date without alcohol. There are lots of people out there who genuinely believe this and who want to explore that sober dating, dry dating, as some people call it. And it's becoming more and more popular. So, yeah, of course it can be awkward and it's perfectly reasonable for you to feel a bit nervous or a bit stiff about it. But there are lots of people out there in the same boat as you, and Yeah,
I think as well, like, when you get more comfortable in your sobriety, you get more comfortable just having any kind of, you know, exchange with someone, whether that's like us doing this podcast or, you know, meeting people from Soberstock, that kind of thing. I think you do get more confident at just socializing and having to put yourself out there in slightly awkward situations, and you work on yourself and your confidence, and that kind of you know, increases over time. So if you're, you know, really newly sober and you're a bit worried about, you know, all this stuff, like I do think it, you know, takes some people a little bit of time to kind of relearn, because we're taught from a young age that the only way to be confident and to be sexy and to go up to people is by having a drink. So when you have that taken away from you, it can be really stunting for a lot of people. But I think over time, when you get really comfortable, is when you kind of learn to like regain those skills. And just while we're on dating apps as well, there's quite a few like sober dating apps. There's one called Lucid, spelled L-O-O-S-I-D. There's Clean and Sober Love, and there's also Sober Singles Date. And I'm sure there's loads more as well, which, you know, I thought, I didn't actually know this. This was just like, I was doing a bit of research for this episode, and I didn't actually know these sober dating apps existed, but I think it's actually really...
Yeah,
really,
neither did
really
I.
Nice idea.
I genuinely had no idea that.
Are you going to be downloading them now?
I'm already doing it, mate. No, but I really do like what you're saying. It can be tough for people at first when you're first sober, but one thing that helps you just be more comfortable is to be proud of the fact that you're sober. This is something to be proud of. You're bettering yourself, and that's never something to be ashamed of. Don't be afraid to say you're sober. Don't be afraid to be proud of that. And honestly, people will like that about you and respect that about you. And if they don't, well, that's on them.
I think a lot of people are sort of at a loss, like, with, you know, just any, like, well, what do I do now? I don't drink. I spent so much of my time drinking. What do I do now? And I think it's the same when it comes to dating. Like, oh, whenever I'd go on a date or meet someone, I'd go for a drink. We'd go get a drink with each other. But, you know, there are, like, so many date ideas that you can do that are, like, you know, cute. Some of them are cute. Some of them are not so, like, cringe or whatever. But I've just written some down here. You can, you know, have a nice little picnic, take a walk on the beach, going to a festival, to a theme park, to the cinema, or just, you know, simple, like for coffee or for dinner. Also, I love like doing mini golf and bowling and stuff like that. And I think that having an activity like relieves some of the awkwardness that you have, because like you have something to focus on, you have something to talk about, you have something like physical, practical that you're actually doing. And that can kind of get rid of some of the, you know, first date awkwardness, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about using your environment and making it feel natural. You have something to talk about, and if you're starting to run out of things to say, you can literally just talk about what you're doing. And honestly, a lot of these dates are great as well. Like, I love just sitting with someone and talking with them in person, just getting to know them. And I've had great dates with a picnic in the park. A picnic in the park is a great first date. It's lovely, and you can always do something fun afterwards, like go play mini golf, go bowling, go whatever it is that you want to do. Like, I went axe throwing once, and that was amazing.
You went what?
Axe throwing.
Axe throwing as a first date?
Well, no, it wasn't a first date. It wasn't a first date.
Oh, but it was a date.
But it was
okay.
A date, yeah. So like,
no, I love that.
Literally, little hatchet, you throw it at a target. And it was so much fun. It was great.
Yeah, that is so fun. And also, I would just like to point out that dates aren't just for single people. They are also for people in relationships.
That's so, right. If you're in a relationship and you're not taking your partner on dates, bro, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What you do? People always wonder why the honeymoon period goes away. It's because you're not taking them on dates, mate.
Go out on dates, yeah. No, I think after I stopped drinking, our date nights got so much more interesting, because we're not just... It's not just me trying to keep Tom up until, like, fucking 5 a.m. getting absolutely twatted. It's actually fun stuff that we both want to do, and, yeah, it's really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Are we going to segue into awkwardness now?
Well, it doesn't have to be a segue to awkwardness, but now it is, because you've said that. But no,
sorry,
let's keep going.
I'm so awkward.
Honestly, you're like a child. But what comes after dates, right? A lot of the time, what comes after dates and before relationships is sex.
Sex.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about sex.
No, I'm only joking. I am joking. Like, I actually really believe in, like, open, non-awkward dialogue about sex in general. But just, I don't know, maybe it's just for the podcast, but I'm just feeling a bit shy about it. I don't know why.
It's pretty funny, I'm not going to lie. But it's making... I'm sure that there are people out there right now who are listening and might feel the same way. A little bit of, like, awkwardness talking about sex or whatever. And now here you are feeling the same way, so they have someone to relate to. So there you
Yay.
Go.
Yay!
There you go.
If you're
listeners.
There and you're feeling awkward and you're giggling about sex, then you know you're not alone.
So is Charlie.
I'm also doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, sex, when sober, I can't even begin to express. It's just so much better. Like,
yeah.
obviously, a lot of the time in my past, whenever I met someone that I wanted to have sex with, it was with at a bar or on a night out, and we were drinking, we were drunk. And when you actually take the time to say, you know what, I don't actually want to invite you home on the first night that I've met you. I want to talk to you for a while first. I want to go out with you. I want to get to know you more. It just makes your sex life so much better. You know, you can connect with the person. You can open up with the person. You can feel more comfortable with them. You can trust them. And it just makes your entire sex life so much better. I can't imagine what it would be like if I was having sex with someone every single time and I was drunk. Like, having sex every single time I was drunk, that would be so much worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I don't think there's anything, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with someone who's got the confidence to sleep with someone on a first date. Absolutely, you go, queen, / king, / non-gendered member of the royal family. But yeah, like, the thing, like, that's the thing, like, some people are looking for an intimate relationship, some people are looking for a casual relationship, whatever kind of relationship you're looking for, even in just the most physical basic level, it's going to feel better because you're not just two randos awkwardly bumping your bits together, like, thinking, can the other one actually even feel anything, because I can't. So yeah, like, whatever, like, you're kind of looking for. But I agree, like, you know, for me, I like the intimacy and stuff, and that is an important, well, the most important, you know, feature of sex for me. And it's not for everyone, and that's totally, totally cool. Like, everybody's different. But I think when I was drinking, like, I saw sex as this kind of way for me to be validated. Like, I saw myself as, you know, being a woman growing up as a girl and just being quite, like, pushed into that box, I would say, from quite a young age. You know, I'd hang out with older boys and we'd be drinking, and I sort of placed, I was a very anxious kid, so, like, when people started to fancy me, I was like, oh my god, like, this, you know, there's this reason that I'm worthy or that I'm valuable or whatever that I never really had when I was a kid, because I was just, like, so, you know, I was so anxious and so eager to please, but I didn't, like, feel like I had any value. That sounds really sad, and it is kind of sad, but we're trying to keep the episode light, sorry.
No, it's good, keep going.
Yeah, so when I was having sex, when I was drinking, I think I was looking for that kind of validation, because all of my value lay in, you know, my attractiveness and whether people wanted to sleep with me, whether people fancied me. Even, like, my male friends, like, I would want them to fancy me, and, like, now to me that is so bizarre. Like, why would I want that? Like, that would be so awkward. But at the time, like, I don't know how to express it. Like, I felt validated by knowing that people wanted to kind of be with me in that way. So, you know, I'd love, like, going up to people in the club when I was really drunk and, like, asking them to come home with me or whatever, but it didn't mean anything. And at the end of the day, I just felt empty, but, like, I was trying to, like, fill this void with, like, more drinking and, you know, more sex. And, like, I mean, I didn't have loads and loads of sex, but, you know, I had a fair bit, and...
A fair bit? A fair bit of sex. How are you quantifying that?
I won't go into numbers, Joey. All right. You know, with men and women and whatever, and I think it was really tied up with alcohol for me. So I guess I was kind of out of touch with myself. And then I got together with Tom, and that was a lot better. And we were together for about a year before I got sober. And then, like, even after, like, we'd been together for so long, like, after I got sober, I was, like, out of touch with myself and my body and, like, how I felt and who I thought I was. So, you know, it took me a long time to sort of open up and realise, like, who I was and what I wanted and, like, what felt, even stuff that felt good and, you know, what felt comfortable for me and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it can take time, but you can be really patient with yourself. Yeah,
exactly. Being patient with yourself. I really like that. I think that a lot of the time, sex requires a level of intimacy that's somewhat unattainable in the absence of an emotional connection. You really do just need to connect with that person and know that you can trust this person and feel comfortable with them. Like, sex is a weird thing. We were saying earlier, Charlie, if you had to explain what sex is...
Wait, just for clarification, we were calling to talk about the podcast. We weren't just having our, you know, midweek sex chat.
Were we not? Is that not what it was? Why did you have to say that? Now you just made it
sorry,
awkward again.
I know.
Anyway. If you had to explain what sex is to an alien that just reproduces asexually, they don't know what sexual intercourse is, You'd literally say you're naked with another person who's also naked, and a part of your body is inside of their body. That's an awkward, weird thing. If you weren't familiar with it, like it's obviously so normal to us because it's everywhere. Like pretty much.
It's also so. It's like the most natural thing in the world, but the most strange thing in the world. I always think that like it's like. Yeah. It's like such a strange concept, but at the same time, it's like literally the most natural thing in the world. How we were all created, like, was here before any of us or any of these ideas about drinking or alcohol or society or sobriety. Sorry.
Like, I completely agree. It's the strangest but most natural thing in the world. Yeah, but a lot of the time, it can be quite vulnerable. You don't just want to have sex with anyone you meet. And sometimes, yeah, you do it for validation. And I'm sure men do this as well. Like, we go around pulling girl after girl after girl, night out after night out, because we feel like it gives us some sort of status. Like, yeah, I'm a Don John, I'm a player, and that makes us feel good. But in reality, nothing's going to make you feel more valued than being intimate with someone that you actually want to connect with.
Yeah, I think it's about asking yourself those really honest questions. Like, some people are really looking for, you know, casual, fun times, and I'm totally here for that. But it's about having that really honest conversation with yourself about, like, okay, why am I doing this? Like, when I was drinking and having sex, I was like, I'm just having fun. Like, I'm living my, you know, liberated young woman sexy life. But inside, like, I wasn't happy and I wasn't fulfilled. And it took me a long time to have, like, that really honest chat with myself where I was like, is this really, like, a fun thing? Or are you doing this, you know, to feel validated? And is it kind of trying to fill the void sort of thing?
See, do you know what you asked yourself there, Charlie? You know what you've just asked yourself? Is this the best version of yourself?
Fuck's sake, I knew you were going to say that. Yes.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree, I guess.
But yeah, of course, if you do, if that is your thing, and of course you do just want to have sex with someone you met on a night out, I've done that, so I can't judge other people for doing it. But being sober will help you form that emotional connection with somebody, and that will make your sex life so much better.
And even just, yeah, even just like on a physical level though, like when you're drunk, like your senses are dulled down. That's why, you know, I used to use alcohol to like deal with big crowds and loud noises and stuff, but it's also like physical touch is dulled down. Like you can feel so much more just being sober. And also, like, you know, like the intensity of like having to kiss someone or whatever, like whether it's the first time you kiss them or not, or like first time sleeping with someone, and it's kind of scary but kind of exciting, kind of magical. Like, all of those things are often associated with alcohol, but I actually think all of those things are like way enhanced when you're sober. Like, it's way more scary, it's way more exciting. You're just in the moment so much more that you're actually feeling it, and that might be a bit hard and a bit awkward, but I really do think it's just so much better. Since I stopped drinking, like, you know, I won't go into too much detail about my sex life, otherwise Tom might actually kill me. But basically everything is just so much better. Like, it's so much more intimate, it feels so much closer. Like, having sex drunk is just so, like, it felt like a performance for me, I think. Like, it felt like a performance, and it didn't feel like I was really there, I was really connecting with that person. But now it's just like the total opposite of that. Like, sometimes I even cry afterwards, but that's just me, really.
Bless you. Bless you. Right, I really empathize with what you're saying. You feel like it's a performance, because this is where performance anxiety comes from. You feel like you're putting on a show for someone, and you're not just in the present moment feeling how your body feels, doing what you want to do. It's not just about exploring each other's bodies, it's about exploring each other's minds. If you have any fantasies, foreplay, role play that you want to try out with someone, trying to do all that when you're drunk out of your mind is next to impossible. But when you just sit and have a conversation with someone and just be intimate and be vulnerable and be comfortable, it literally opens up a whole other chapter of your sex life.
Exactly. Like, if you want to do something, you know, different, it's like the worst idea to do it when you're drinking, because, you know, you might cross a line. Like, you might, you know, you might not be ready. You might, I feel like you just, doing it sober means you're doing it so intentionally and slowly and at your own pace, and anything that you're into, anything that you want to try, it's done like in a mutually respectful kind of way, rather than just like a drunken whim that the next day you might feel a bit like icky about, which I've definitely done things the next day I've been felt a bit icky about. But now it's like not like it's not like that at all. But how have you found it, Joey? Like, I'm not gonna pry too much.
Oh, go on.
How have you found it? Like, just having sex with people, like, because obviously I've only had sex with one person. I'm in a relationship since I've been sober. But like, how have you found it awkward? Like, have you? What about making the first move? Like, have you got any like practical advice?
Practical advice. Oh, what are you asking me right now? Okay.
Okay, no, sorry. Have you got any experiences of, like, you know, that feeling, or like, how has it been for you? Like, have you had any experiences like that?
Yeah, like, it's all about setting boundaries. You might like something, but only to a certain extent. And yeah, if you're drunk, then it's going to be difficult to know where these boundaries are and to respect them. But when you're sober, the experiences I've had of sex since I've sober, it's been so much more peaceful. You're not stressed, you're not worrying about what's coming next. A lot of the time you do worry about that. You're thinking, okay, I'm back at her place now, or we're kissing now, or all right, we're undressing now. You're constantly thinking about what's coming next, but
yeah,
it's so much easier to just relax and be in the present moment and just do what you want to do, not rush it. You don't have to go straight to the next thing. You can take your time, and you can just talk as well. You can like stop and chat and just be like, yeah. And if I know like the girl's been drinking at one point, but I'm sober, I just say, you know, I'm not really feeling it tonight. Like, you've been drinking, I obviously haven't.
Yeah, so I think that's
really
something
that I like.
Yeah, no, I get you. Like, that is something that is really tricky, I think, and it's kind of under talked about. Like, not really talked about. It's like the idea of consent and like, can you date someone who's had a few drinks, or can you sleep with someone who's had a few drinks when you're sober, and vice versa? And it's a really kind of tricky line to walk, because, like, you know, if you can't give consent when you're drunk, then the majority of the sex I've had has been non-consensual, you know what I mean? And it's like this way that, like, it's this way that drinking culture is like tied up with sex, that makes it so hard to like distinguish like when someone is giving their full consent. And yeah, like you said, like, if it's someone's been having a few drinks and you haven't, it might be, it's just a bit uncomfortable, and it's like, well, you know, it's not going to happen right now.
Yeah, because a part of me thinks to myself, does this person actually want this, or are they just saying it because they're drunk? Like,
exactly. What would you suggest to like someone in that kind of situation, or like someone else that is sober and like seeing someone who has a few drinks? Like, I guess from my point of view, it would just be to like have a conversation about it, to be like, look, like, I don't feel comfortable, you know, taking it further whilst you're drinking and I'm not. I don't know. What do you think?
Having a conversation about it is the best way to do it. But I feel as though if, say, for example, you're in a scenario where, okay, so this has happened to me before. So I was drunk on a night out and the girl was drunk on a night out. We go back to her place. But then when we're back at her place, we're not really drunk anymore. So neither of us are really feeling it. So we just stop and we have a conversation about it. But I feel as though if you're going to do this, and just be honest and just communicate, just say, I'm just not really feeling it. You know, like, I was more drunk earlier than I am now. And now I just feel like I'd rather take things slow. I'd rather slow it down a little bit. But I think it's important not to separate entirely and be like, oh my God, get away from me. Because correct me if I'm wrong here, but as a woman, sometimes you might take that personally, like, oh, does this man not find me attractive? Like, do I not turn him on? And like, you don't want to come across as though you're rejecting her in that way. Just be open and say, I don't want you to take it personally. I don't want you to think I just don't feel comfortable right now.
Yeah, well, that's just like general, like, kind of being sensitive to the other person's feelings, sort of.
Exactly,
skills,
yeah.
I guess. And like, just, you know, if it seems to be going one way and then it goes another way, like, that's fine. Like, but yeah, exactly, just talking. And I think this is just kind of leads on to talking about relationships as well, because in relationships, I do think the most important thing is communication, because you can be on totally different wavelengths otherwise. Like, I have a real tendency, go back and listen to the mental health episode if you want to listen to my mental health struggles, but I have a real tendency to spin a narrative a certain way in my head. And the way I overcome that is by asking my friends, but also, you know, Tom and stuff, like, is this, you know, is this what you mean by this? Is this why this has happened? And most of the time, I've just made a completely unrelated narrative. Like, they hate me and they're mad at me, and that's not what's happened at all. So yeah, I think, like, in any relationship, but especially one that involves, you know, sex or a romantic relationship, it's really important to have those honest conversations, even the ones that seem a little bit more awkward or uncomfortable, because ultimately it will lead to, you know, a better situation for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ever feel as though you have to do anything you don't want to do. It's about respect. Yeah. You respect each other.
Hello, it's Shaz from Over the Influence, and I wanted to let you know about just one aspect of our amazing online community. So I host a couple of Zoom sessions each week. I do one on a Friday evening when it used to be 1 o'clock for me, and another really early on a Saturday morning when I used to be hungover to hell thinking, not again. So in a nutshell, these Zoom calls, they're just brilliant. Our members come together to celebrate the wins, share the rubbish bits as well. And what we're seeing is real life friendships grow with the people who they all just started off with one thing in common. They wanted to change their relationship with alcohol. This might be you. But this community is also so much more than that. Of course, our focus is singing about sobriety, but as well, it's about focusing on the other stuff that happens once you make a decision to reassess your relationship with booze. We've got newly discovered cyclists, walkers, swimmers, knitters, bookworms, bird spotters. We've got budding artists, and we've got introverts who thought they were extroverts. We celebrate it all. Everybody is welcome. And our face-to-face Zooms are the perfect way to do this. Find out how you can sign up at overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Obviously, when you get sober, there are like a few tricky elements to being in a relationship. For example, like some recovery programs like AA suggest that it's not the most ideal thing to get with someone in your first little early while of sobriety, because you're, you know, sort of in a vulnerable place getting to know yourself and that kind of thing, and it can be something that triggers you to go back to drinking. Or, you know, like me, like you might already be in a relationship and decide to go sober and have a partner that still drinks, and that can be difficult, especially if your partner kind of drank like you used to, sort of thing. Or even if you're with another person who's sober, that can be hard as well, because like they're when they're struggling, that might trigger your struggles, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I was having a bit of a wobble in a bar or whatever, and I was going out with someone who was also having a bit of a wobble in a bar, that would be, you know, that could be difficult. So, you know, there are these challenges, but at the same time, there are so many reasons that, you know, of why sobriety is good for your romantic relationships, whatever stage they're at, whether you're dating, whether you're, you know, starting a relationship, whether you're married, or whatever the situation might be. Because alcohol can be really sort of damaging to relationships, I guess.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And when you think about what it is that makes a relationship great, what is it that determines whether or not a relationship is going to be successful, how long it's going to last, you think about things such as having a growth mindset, mental stability, conscientiousness, respect, realism. And I don't want to come across as though we're judging people that drink. Okay, we used to drink. All right, we can't judge.
Also, yeah, like all of my friends drink, like my boyfriend drinks, my family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like it comes from no place of judgment. Like when
Absolutely.
We're talking about alcohol, we just want to sing about the good parts of sobriety and why
the joys,
you know,
of sobriety.
Yeah,
you know. But having a growth mindset or just being willing to grow as a person, it's hard to do that if you just go on a night out and getting drunk all the time. Like, is that what you were born to do? You know, are you being the best version of yourself? Mm-hmm. If you're doing that, come on. It always comes back to that. Look at that look on your face, mate.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes very hard there, if anyone can see.
Very hard.
But no, I think if you're not growing, and yeah, you're not being the best version of yourself, it's hard to be in a relationship in that stage. And in past relationships when I was still drinking, you know, I was very stuck. I wasn't growing. I wasn't moving forward. I was just stuck in this one moment, which was just a lot like, you know, lifelong party. And because I wasn't growing and I wasn't working on myself and I wasn't taking care of myself, basically, that made it really hard for the people who loved me. You know, it made it hard for those around me, because they want wanted to see me doing well and me looking after myself, and that was not what's happening. So yeah, like when you get sober and you do grow so much, you learn so much about yourself and about the world when you get sober, it can be a really positive impact on your relationship, because they can see you growing and taking care of yourself and taking responsibility for things, and that can, you know, lead to a lot of respect, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's hard if you're not moving forward and you feel stuck, it's hard for your relationship to move forward. Mm-hmm. Your relationship might feel stuck. It's hard to take care of another person if you can't take care for yourself, and mm-hmm. that's exactly what a relationship is. You're both trying to take care of each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And just having that level of mental stability, I mean, if you're drinking all your problems away, it's hard to be mentally stable, you know what I mean? It's gonna make you wobble quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I still wobble all the time, and that's fine.
Who doesn't have a wobble?
I'm not drinking all the time to try and solve my problems. I'm not trying to escape my problems by drinking. And that means when I do have a wobble, even though it's maybe harder in some ways because I'm really facing up to reality, it's a lot better because I'm not just... Because also, like, the thing with drinking is it can go on for so long. Like, when I'm having a wobble now, I tend to, like, not get over it, but I tend to feel better, like, within a certain amount of time. I tend to, like, calm down and stuff like that. When I was drinking, I could be, you know, really upset, hyperventilating, in a state of panic or upset or anger. And that could last for so long because it was just, like, fueled by the alcohol. Whereas without the alcohol to kind of energize that, I think, for me anyway, it goes down a lot quicker, and that just makes me a much easier and I guess nicer partner as well.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. For me, it's a lot about being conscientious, you know, just having the ability to set and then keep long-term goals, doing things deliberately, like being deliberate with the choices and decisions that you make. And if you are just drinking on top of all your problems, it's going to be hard to set and keep a long-term goal and then be deliberate about, right, what are my priorities right now, what's best for me, what's best for my partner, what's best for our relationship. It's going to be hard to do all that if you're adding all of the problems that come with alcohol on top of all of the problems that you already have.
I think deliberate's a really good word, because I guess it's, like, you know, popular term at the moment or whatever, but just, like, being mindful and, like, because when I was drinking, everything I was doing was careless and mindless, you know, it was just like no thought or deliberation had gone into it. And now my actions are deliberate, and I have learned skills about how to communicate in my relationship in a more slow, controlled way, and think about my words before I say them, which, when you're drunk, like, I didn't really care what I would say, it would just come out.
Have you ever tried to argue with someone when you're drunk? Your words just don't come out right, and you're like, shit, did not mean to say that. And they're like, what the fuck did you just say?
Drunk arguments with your romantic partner are the absolute worst thing, and I would never want to go back to having one of those ever again.
I remember one time, Charlie, you said something to me. I believe this was what you said. Correct me if I'm slightly wrong
here. Okay, go on.
But you said you don't argue with your partner now, you make arguments.
Yeah, pretty much, like, we don't like have what, and also, like, every couple's different, like, it's normal to argue. Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, look at me, I'm so
great, perfect.
I never argue with my boyfriend. No, like, there are difficulties, but now it's like when one of us has a problem, it's like we bring it up in a mutual way, a respectful way, and we talk about it. Yeah. Does things get heated sometimes? Yeah, obviously. Like, sometimes you're not going to see eye to eye. It's a whole different human being from you. Like, it's not, you're not exactly the same as them. You're going to have differences. You're going to have different thoughts and whatever. But the way that we, quote unquote, argue now is, like, is just, it's much more constructive. It's like we're talking about our feelings and then figuring out a way to solve the problem. And that, when I was arguing when I was drunk, I would never be trying to solve a problem. I just wanted to be, like, kicking off and causing a drama and, like, you know, being a dick. And, like, I don't know, it's a lot more about, like, hurting them or annoying them or whatever when it's in that kind of mindless state. Whereas now I feel like it's a lot, for me anyway, it's a lot more about just, like, coming together and trying to figure out kind of a solution.
Yeah, and this is the realism side of it, showing like all relationships are going to have ups and downs. It's about how you deal with that. Now, do you have good conflict resolution skills? Are you able to not let things blow up, but just calmly express yourself and allow your partner to do the same thing? Because yeah, I was the same when I was drunk and doing all sorts of things and nights out and whatnot. We weren't just trying to say, listen, I'm hurt right now. It was almost as though you're trying to make the other person feel more hurt. You know, have you ever heard the expression, hurt people hurt people?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Like, you're just trying to lash out and to go, you've hurt me, so now I'm going to hurt you. But when you're more sober and you're more willing to just sit down and talk, you're able to take criticism and reserve judgment and be like, okay, I understand that I hurt you and I'm sorry, but you also hurt me. And you talk about things.
You're kind of listening. You're not reacting. You're like responding. You're having this like constructive thing, and like it doesn't always go perfectly. There's still emotions and like loads of other things that play a factor, but just having alcohol out of the equation just for me made everything so much simpler and less dramatic. Even in the most dramatic moments, it was like the most dramatic moments now are just nothing in comparison to like the least dramatic moments when I was drinking. And I think creating a relationship like whilst you're sober, I just imagine that to be an amazing experience as well, you know, like on the other side of it, when you're kind of going from dating and sex to a relationship, like there's something really beautiful about being able to be vulnerable and open up to someone without something to kind of hype you up or whatever, or like put this, it's like a mask, isn't it? Like alcohol is like a mask that you put on to pretend to be some cooler, happier, more confident version of yourself, and then in sobriety you sort of realize who you really are and how to let that show. And it's not easy, and it doesn't come naturally for a lot of people, but being able to build a relationship from that place, I think there's something really special about that.
Absolutely. This is all about genuity, just being genuine. That's what it's all about. Like, if people always talk about, oh, just be yourself. That's a very common piece of advice. I feel as though what people mean by that is just being genuine. Because if you're being somebody else, then nobody's going to be attracted to you. They're going to be attracted to the person that you're pretending to be. And a lot of the time when you're drunk, you're not your true self. So they're going to be more attracted to drunk you than sober you.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that was definitely the case for me. People were like, wow, look, she's so fun and outgoing and extroverted and all of these things. And I was like, inside I was actually just a little bit introverted and like not exactly how people thought I was. And that's fine. And now like I'm sober and I'm like, yeah, this is me. The classic, this is me. This is who I am. And if you like it, yay. If you don't like it, that's fine. And I'm fine with that. And that took me a long time to get there, I think. In all relationships.
I absolutely agree. Like, being sober just helps you find who you really are. It helps you find your purpose. It helps you find out who you want to be, who you are, what you want in life in terms of dating, sex, relationships, and many more things. And if it wasn't for being sober, I wouldn't be in the place that I am today when it comes to just meeting people and being comfortable with myself and all sorts of stuff.
Exactly. Like, being comfortable with yourself, like, kind of should come first, right? And then you kind of decide to explore dating and sex and relationships, and that's a kind of a bonus. But coming from this place of like genuine, authentic me, it just feels so much nicer.
And it can be scary. It can be scary. It can be difficult. Like, oh, like this is just me. Like, I'm putting myself on the platform. I'm letting myself be seen.
I'm exposed.
You're letting yourself be approached, and you're approaching others. And honestly, like I've said before, being sober, it's something to be proud of. And if it wasn't for that, your relationships with dating, sex, with all sorts of things in life, it wouldn't be the same as it is now that you're sober.
Yeah, it's really special. I think being sober is something really special, and it's not easy. It's not an easy ride, but you know, you can do it. Many of us got it in us. And you know, if you're still drinking it, no one's judging you. That is not, you know, the way we work here at all. We just want to say how, you know, happy and how much easier sober life has made these things, you know, for us as young and sober people with over the influence.
And we're here to help you too. So I guess that's it.
Yeah, I think we're done here.
We're done. Our work here is done.
No, our work here is done.
So
well, we will.
Genuinely, it's been a fun one. There's been a lot of awkward laughs, some giggles, and whatnot. But it's been fun.
No, I'm always awkwardly laughing. It's fine. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We're Young and Sober, and we take over the Over the Influence podcast once a month. So See you in a month's time.
Share these episodes with your friends. If you're sober, sober curious, just share it with everyone.
Share it with your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. I'm taking it too far now. Peace.
Peace.
Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and ooh, here's you come to the end of another week of Over the Influence. Except you haven't, because every week, as well as this free podcast, we release a special bonus episode of Over the Influence called the Over the Influence Premium Podcast, which is exclusive for our community members and our subscribers. Just go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com now to sign up, and our premium podcasts will go straight into your normal podcast app. It's £5 a month, and by becoming a premium podcast listener, you're supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops. So thank you for your support. If you'd like to become a premium podcast listener, just go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com.